This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church. Mark 15, verse 43, this is what the Bible says. And Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate. I want you to get that, boldly, and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead, and calling the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he brought fine linen and tucked him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulcher. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. Let us pray. God, as we bow our heads and our hearts in your presence, I pray today that you would anoint us. God, I sense that you want to do something very special in this service. I really do, God. I sense today that transformation is going to take place, that lives are going to be changed, that people that are on their way to hell are going to leave here today on their way to heaven because they've had an experience with you, the Savior of the world. Have your will, have your way. And for all you do, we're going to praise you. For I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about making your legacy bigger than your life. Making your legacy bigger than your life. Somebody said only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Making your legacy bigger than your life. I was reading one time about a 91-year-old man, 91 years old, and he married a 26-year-old girl. I'll tell you, it upset the family. It really upset the family. I mean, his son was irate. He said, "Dad, this is ridiculous." Now, you got to keep in mind, the son was 72. And he said, "Dad, this is ridiculous. You're 91. She's 26. You're 91. She's 26. He said, "Dad, get real. This could be fatal." And he said, "Well, son, if she dies, she dies." I read an article this week out of the New England Journal of Medicine. And the New England Journal of Medicine was talking about the most productive years of a person's life. It was interesting to me, I found this very interesting, that the most productive decade of a person's life is 60 to 70. The most productive years of a life is 60 to 70. The second most productive decade of a person's life is 70 to 80. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying, it sounds like the type that a lot of people are retiring, they need to be refiring. So the most productive time is 60 to 70. The second most productive time is 70 to 80. And the third most productive time is 50 to 60. The average age of a Nobel Prize winner in our country is 62. The average age of the presidents of the largest companies in America is 63. The average age of the 100 largest churches in America is 71. God wants to do something with people's lives. And God wants your legacy bigger than your life. Because I want you to understand, you'll not be remembered for what you believe. You'll be remembered for what you do. You'll not be remembered for what you believe. You'll be remembered for what you do. It's not the duration of one's life that matters. It's the donation of one's life that really matters. Now I want you to understand something. If something's in the Bible one time, God wants us to see it. But if something's in the Bible four times, apparently God really does want us to see it. And there's a man in the Bible named Joseph of Arimathea. Matthew wrote about him. Mark wrote about him. Luke wrote about him. John wrote about him. All four writers of the gospel said, we're going to write about this guy, Joseph of Arimathea. This guy who was from Arimathea, about 15 miles from Jerusalem. Now, here's what I want us to do. I want us to look at his life, and I want us to glean from it. Because, folks, I want you to leave more than just a life. I want you to leave a legacy. A legacy. I want you to see five or six things about Joseph of Arimathea. The first thing I want you to see about him is this. He had money. He had money. Now, the Bible says in Matthew 27 that he was a rich man. Joseph of Arimathea, he had money. He was a rich man. And I know what some of you are thinking right now. This is not relevant to me. I'm struggling to get by. No, you got to understand. If you make $32,400, you're in the top 1% of the people in the world. If your family income is $32,400, you're in the top 1% of the people in the world. What does that tell me? That tells me, ladies and gentlemen, this morning I am preaching to filthy rich people. Hey, that tells me this morning I am filthy rich. That tells me that I am in the top 1% of the people in our world. I'm like Joseph of Arimathea. I've got money. And you've got money if you're in the top 1% of the people in the world. Now, here's what happens. People will come up to me and say, Pastor, I'm playing the lottery. I'm trying to get the thoughts out of my head. But anyway, and they'll say this, Pastor, I'm playing the lottery. And if I win it, I'm going to remember the church. What do you think when people do that, Pastor? This is what I think. You're such a liar. You're not even remembering the church right now. See, folks, it's not what you would do with a million if a million were your lot. It's what you're doing with a dollar and quarter that you've already got. Somebody said, say it again. It's not what you would do with a million if a million were your lot. It's what you're doing with a dollar and quarter that you've already got. See, let me tell you something. You know, the poorest state of all 50 states is the state of Mississippi. It's the poorest state of all 50 states. But listen, per capita giving, it's the most generous state of all 50 states. You know what that tells me, folks? Generosity has nothing to do with amount. Generosity has nothing to do with amount. Generosity has everything to do with your heart. You can be extremely wealthy and be very stingy, and you can have nothing and be very liberal and very generous. That's not the message. But I just want you to see, he had money, but there's a second thing I want you to see. He not only had money, but he ministered. He ministered. You say, this man who had means, Pastor, he ministered. Where do you get that? Well, the Bible says this. The Bible says he was a disciple. That means he was a follower of Jesus Christ. He was a follower of Jesus Christ. That means he ministered. I have been preaching this week in various places, and I had this thought.
I said, the average church is really like a football game. By the way, that's a beautiful stadium. I said, the average church is like a football game. You said, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, you've got 22 people on the field, and they're in desperate need of a rest. And you've got 50,000 people in the stands who are in desperate need of exercise. But the reality is, 1 Peter 4:10 says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. So what does that tell us? There shouldn't be people on the field, and there shouldn't be people in the stands. Every one of us ought to be ministering. Every one of us ought to be serving. We're not saved to sit. We're saved to serve. And saved people serve people. You said, Pastor Benny, I really want to serve. I really want to minister, but I just don't know what to do. Well, good. I'm glad you came. I'm glad you're watching. I'm going to help you. See, what we really need to do, folks, we need to get in the game. And for some, that's going to mean getting into shape. Getting into shape. Got to get into shape, amen? So wait, you said, Pastor, what are you talking about, getting into shape? Well, that S stands for spiritual gifts. See, the Bible teaches us to not be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. When you came to know Christ, you didn't realize it, but God was equipping you with spiritual gifts. Some of your spiritual gift is hospitality. Some is administration. Some is exhortation. Some is teaching. Some is preaching. Some is helps. God is equipping you with spiritual gifts. See, every child of God, look here, folks, every child of God is a gifted child. But look, you say, well, I don't have a clue, Pastor, what my spiritual gift is. Well, I'm going to help you with that. If you go online, you go to the website, we've got a spiritual gifts evaluation for you to take. And after you take the evaluation, you'll know exactly, this is where I'm gifted. So if in light of this is my gift, here's where I need to be serving. So get this, that S stands for spiritual gifts. What's the H stand for? It stands for your heart. It stands for your heart. It stands for what you've got a heart for. I'm not talking about what catches your eye. I'm talking about what catches your heart. I want you to understand something. Until you find something worth dying for, you don't have anything worth living for. Until you find something worth dying for, you don't have anything worth living for. And it will come out of your passion. It will come out of your pain. It will come out of your desire. You'll have a heart for it. God's put stuff in your heart. So S stands for spiritual gift. H stands for heart. Look here. A stands for abilities. We do our children injustice. Get this up. We tell our children, you can be anything you want to be in life. All you got to do is want to be at bad enough. No, that's not true. Because see, if what you want to do, your abilities don't match, you're going to be in trouble. Did you ever watch the program American Idol? This is what I know about those people on American Idol. They want to do it real, real bad. But the abilities don't match what they want to do. I mean, I watch it sometimes. I've been watching it this season. And I said to Barbara the other night, I said, Barbara, where do they get these people? But then there's a second question I ask. Barbara, where are their friends? Why don't somebody pull them off and say, goodness gracious, you sound like a dying duck in a hailstorm. This is not your gift. You got to get in shape. Now, what does the P stand for, Pastor? The P stands for personality. See, God made you just like you are, a unique person with a unique passion for a unique purpose. You said, Pastor, I don't have a clue what my personality is. Well, look, you can go to the website. You can go to the website and you do a personality profile, and you're going to come back and you're going to say, this is my dominant personality. This is my dominant personality. You're going to be one of the four personality types. That may be sanguine personality. What is a sanguine personality? Well, I'll tell you, that personality, it's sociable. Man, they love to talk. That's who I like to get as greeters in the church. No, you don't want a greeter if the greeter don't like people. I mean, they're sociable. I mean, they love to talk, but I got to be honest with you. They're undisciplined. They're disorganized, amen? I mean, hey, they may wear two different shoes. I mean, it may happen. But then there's not only the sanguine personality type, there's the choleric personality type, or choleric, as Florence Letire used to say. Now, they're confident. They're strong-willed. Whether in charge or not, they think they are. But now they've got some liabilities too. They're impatient. They get upset making instant coffee. They want it faster. They're unaffectionate. They're impatient. They're unaffectionate. They can be short-tempered. This is them. They're often wrong, but never in doubt. You say, well, Pastor, that's me. Probably not, because only 10% of the world's population, this is their domineering personality. Why? God made it that way, because we'd all kill each other. Then there's the third personality type. It's melancholic. They're thought-provoking. They're planning everything out. They're planning. Let me tell you what they're doing. They're ironing their underwear. But now listen, they've got liabilities too. They're suspicious of everybody. Wonder why he was nice to me. I was just being nice. And they're so hard to please. And then there's the last type. It's the phlegmatic personality type. They're peaceful. Oh gosh, they're patient. They're just peaceful. They're just patient. But let me tell you something. Undecisive. They're aiming. And I'm thinking, my God, pull the trigger. I mean, they're undecisive. They're slow moving. Hey, I'll tell you something else about them and I'll just move on. They can be as stubborn as the day is long. I'm preaching to somebody, but anyway. Amen. He's talking about his wife. But anyway, let's get here. I don't know what to do. You got to take your shape. Spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personalities, and then the experiences of your life. God uses the experiences of your life for his purposes. Now, I've got to move. I've spent too long on that. But I want you to see something else about this man. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. Now, wait. The Sanhedrin was the most powerful court in Israel. It was a 71-member court. It was the Supreme Court of Israel. Now, look. Because he's a member of that court, he could walk in to Pilate and he could say to Pilate, I'd like to have the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you got to understand something. When a person was sentenced to death, like Jesus was, they forfeited the right for a burial. When you were sentenced to death, you forfeited the right to a burial. But because of this man's position, he could walk into Pilate and say, as a member of the Sanhedrin, I'd like the body of Jesus Christ. You can understand this. God put him in that position. But it was not about him. It was about the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. God put him in that position, but it was not about him. It was about the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get this, folks. God puts us in positions, but it's not about us. It's about the body of Jesus Christ. Somebody said, Pastor, I'm a businessman and I've done extremely well. God put you in that position, but it's not about you. It's about the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor, I've been very successful. Praise God. God put you in that position because it's about the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor, I'm just a school teacher. Well, I wouldn't say, first of all, I'm just a school teacher, but I want you to understand that's a high honor to be a school teacher. But God put you in that position because it's about the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, wait. This is just too good, folks. The what I'm sharing. He did not agree with a 71-member court when they decided to crucify Jesus. The Bible tells us that in Luke 23, verse 50 and 51. He didn't agree. You said, Pastor, I don't agree with everything that goes on where I work. Probably you won't. But get this. He stayed in the position. And because he stayed in the position, he was able to get the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to understand. Somebody said, well, Pastor Benny, what if he hadn't have stayed in that position? Somebody said, well, if I don't obey God, it only affects me. No. When you don't obey God, it can affect many, many people. Because it affects the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you don't obey God, it can affect many people. Because you're affecting the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. 33 years ago, if I'd said, I don't want to go to Milner, Georgia. I want to just stay where I'm comfortable. I just want to stay here with people I know. I just want to stay right here. I could have done that. But ladies and gentlemen, it would have affected thousands on top of thousands of lives. And God put you where you're at. And it's not about you. It's about the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said, why did God give me a position of power? The only reason God ever gives somebody a position of power is to empower other people. Now get this. I got to move. But number four, the body was messy and marred. The body was, get real, the body had been crucified. They spit in his face. History tells us they urinated on him. They took dung and throwed it at him while he was on the cross. So when Joseph took his body and said, I want to start cleaning up his body was messy and marred. This is all I want to say, and I'm not going to camp here long. But if we reach people for Christ, many times they're going to be messy and marred. Many times they're going to have a past. Many times they're going to have a lot of regrets. Many times a lot of baggage is going to come with them. See, we've missed it, folks, when we realize that when we think everybody ought to look just like us. God is still concerned about people if they've got piercings from the bottom of their feet to the top of their head. And by the way, there's no scripture against that. God is still concerned about people, folks, if they're tatted up from the bottom of their feet to the top of their head. Because see, folks, we miss it. We're so focused on the outside. But God's not focused on the outside. God's focused on the inside. God's focused on the heart. God's focused on the hearts of people. So God help us. The average church in the South looks like a Republican convention on Sunday morning. But I wish we could realize that Jesus Christ came for all people. The black people, the white people, the red people, the Hispanic people. Jesus came for all people. If you're going to reach people for Christ, they're going to be messy and marred. They're going to be messy and marred, and they may not look just like you. Family, I have family on both sides that's messy and marred. Both sides, messy and marred. Both sides of my family. I remember I used to run on the roads around the church. And I was running one day. And I was thinking about our family members that are in homosexuality and lesbianism. And I was thinking about it. And I said, God, as the holidays come, I don't know that I want them in my house. God said these words to me. They may not be welcome in your house, but they're welcome in mine. Ministry is messy and marred, but God loves all people, and God forgives all sin, and He's a good, good God. Amen? Let me give you something. I'll try to wrap up. Number five, he understood his mission. He understood his mission. See, Isaiah 53:9, it was prophesied that Jesus Christ would literally be with the rich in his death. And there's two quick things I just want you to see, and I promise I'm having to expedite. But friend, If you do what God wants you to do with your life, it's going to cost you something. He didn't call you to convenience. He called you to a cross. You say, Pastor, where do you get that? Well, look what the scripture says. And they brought fine linen, took him down and wrapped him and laid him in a sepulcher. Look, which was hewn out of a rock. Went up the grave of Christ. The photo is going to go to it right now. It was hewn out of a rock. And anytime a grave was hewn out of a rock, that gave the indication of wealth and riches. Only the rich had graves that were hewn out of rocks. Why did Jesus get a grave that was hewn out of rock? Why did he get a grave for the wealthy? Because it was Joseph of Arimathea. And Joseph of Arimathea gave him his grave place. Wait. By the way, he was just going to need it 3 days. But here's what I want you to get, folks. If you live for the Lord, it's going to cost you something. Wait. Let me tell you who Joseph was. Joseph was a secret Christian. But after Jesus died, the Bible says this. He walked up boldly to Pilate. And he said, give me that body. Give me that body. You know what he said? I don't care what the Sanhedrin thinks. I don't care what anybody thinks. This man has died for me, and what he's done for me, that's all that really matters. Get this, folks. Understand something. Your mission is going to cost you something. He didn't call us to convenience. He called us to a cross. And then lastly, and I'm done. Your mission is not about you. See, you made it about you. But your mission and my mission is about getting the body ready. Look, oh goodness. Your mission and my mission is about getting the body ready for a resurrection. You know what I want? I want a legacy that's larger than my life. See, if it's just a, look here, what is success? Success is about you. Success is about what happens to you. Significance is about what happens through you. Success is about you. Significance is about others. Two stories and I'm done. Years ago, a man walked into my office and he said, Preacher, I'm dying. But he said, Preacher, I'm lost. I'm not ready to meet God. I'm dying, I'm lost. And I never will forget. I can see that man's face right now. I led that man to faith in Jesus Christ. And he had joy and he was happy. And I thought, this is wonderful. 2 days later, the same man walks in the office. And I said, Brother, what's wrong? Are you everything okay? He said, Oh no, preacher. He said, everything's okay. I've given my life to Christ. But he said, I'm so sad. I said, why are you sad? He said, because I'm dying. And I've never done anything for the Lord. And I so wish I'd given my life to Christ when I could have done something for the Lord. Yesterday, I had two funerals and a wedding. Wait. I think, yeah, two funerals, one wedding. Sometimes they're similar. And at one of the funerals, his name was Mike Pope. I loved Mike deeply. He was one of my deacons. He was a deacon who would actually deek. You know, sometimes you got stewards that won't stew, deacons that won't deek, and trustees you can't trust. But he was a deacon who actually deeked. And I'm going to be real honest, since it's just us, we're all family anyway, we're family. I said, God, I don't understand it. Here's this man in his early 70s. He's got time to serve the Lord. He's such a good, godly man. Why? Why, God, do you have to take him? I said, God, I would have given you 40 or 50 other guys. I said, there's many guys in the church I would have given you instead of this one. They said, Pastor Benny, before you speak, his son Kenny wants to speak. I said, that's fine. And Kenny came out here in a wheelchair, and he looked right over there to a man named Mike Adams. And with emotion, he said, Mike, before I start, I want to thank you. He said, because Mike, 40 or 50 years ago, you served in the Navy with my father. And he said, Mike, you led my father to Christ. And Mike, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Why, Pastor Benny, do you tell us to get these egg boxes? Why do you tell us to fill them up with delicious stuff? And egg people, because there's invites to Easter Sunday in the box, it's because, folks, the only thing you can take to heaven with you is people. And I want to have a legacy that's bigger than my life. I want to have a legacy that's bigger than my life. So what? So what? We're majoring on the minor when God wants our legacy to be much bigger than our life.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.